John Boehner, the man who would be speaker, the man who might be speaker. It's interesting because he suddenly, you know, while people who follow Congress and watch Washington closely, you know, feel like they know him quite well, he's probably very little known around the country and not an unusual place for someone in his position to be, right?
I think that's right. I think that being a member of Congress from the 8th Congressional District of Ohio, which is in the western part of the state, doesn't put you in a major media market. And he's very much an inside player. He's somebody who's been in Congress since 1990. He was part of the Gingrich insurgency and then was part of the group that moved against Gingrich and tried to get him out. And for that reason, he was kind of shunted aside and in disgrace for a while. And it really wasn't until Dennis Hastert became speaker that he gradually got back into the favor of leadership, and since then he's had a rather successful run.
He was an early insurgent, I guess we can call him, as part of that Gingrich group. But he's very much part of the establishment these days, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine anybody who's more distant from the Tea Party ideal than John Boehner. For one thing, Boehner has shown himself on many occasions and on some pretty important legislation to be more than willing to work with Democrats. He's known to have a really good relationship with Steny Hoyer, the majority leader of the Democrats in the House of Representatives. He worked with George Miller, chairman of the Education and Workforce Committee on No Child Left Behind, and then the two of them worked with Ted Kennedy on No Child Left Behind in the Senate. So this is somebody who is not, despite a lot of his rhetoric, an excessively harsh partisan, and somebody who is very much at the heart of the establishment in Congress.
He has very much led the opposition to so many of the president's policies, and it does not seem like there's been a lot of room for compromise over the last year and a half or so. But you're saying that's a bit of an anomaly if we look at his longer range career?
I think that's right. I mean, for example, on this question of the extension of the Bush tax cuts, although many people might not see this as a concession, that Boehner recently, I think it was actually today or yesterday, said, "Well, you know, let's give it two more years." So, you know, rather than an eternal extension of the tax cuts to the highest income Americans, Boehner was, you know, in a sense offering, I guess, his version of half a loaf to the president.
And but his image, the White House certainly wants to paint him as the just say no obstructionist. I mean, there's certainly some truth to that.
Well, sure. And I think it was Boehner's speech in Cleveland earlier this year that, in a sense, prompted the president to come to Ohio and come back to Cleveland and to challenge him right at the place where Boehner threw down the challenge. And so I think that, you know, he's become a symbol of the opposition in Congress to the president's programs. The president, of course, would consider it, you know, to be mindless and consistent opposition. Boehner is an old-fashioned small government, country club, cocktail-drinking, cigarette-smoking Republican. And, you know, there's nothing terribly radical about the guy, except the fact that many of the things the president wants to do really go against the grain of his deeply seated Republican beliefs in small government. He's very much a foe of earmarks, always has been. You know, he's basically somebody who follows a kind of a corporate line. He much of what he does reflects the opinions and the preferences of the business community, both in Ohio and in the nation.
In that list you ticked off, you didn't mention the suntan.
The suntan, right, which he claims he gets on the golf course. His house in Ohio actually abuts a golf course, which makes it very convenient for him to kind of, you know, to kind of jump over the hedge and, you know, go and kind of play a couple of holes.
So you said he is very much not a Tea Party kind of guy, but that's a growing movement. I mean, they would say they're not necessarily part of the Republican Party, but certainly there is a connection there, a real connection, and most of the Tea Partiers I talk to, you know, are either former Republicans or still Republicans. But so how does a guy like Boehner, the ultimate insider, deal with that insurgent and growing wing within the party?
Well, of course, his history indicates that he's very much a survivor. He really knows how to pull himself out of desperate situations, and I think he probably feels he can kind of finesse these people. He's a very smooth operator. He's somebody who I think has the requisite skills to be speaker. He's not a high concept guy. This is not another Newt Gingrich. This is not somebody who has a kind of a seminal view of political philosophy. Rather, he's somebody who understands the legislative process, understands what it takes to get legislation passed, and understands what it takes to block legislation.
Weaknesses that you might point out?
Well, I think his corporate ties are questionable. He was once famously outed for distributing checks to members of Congress from the tobacco industry on the floor of the House of Representatives. That's certainly something that that's a problem. And I think that given the given the alarm expressed by not just the Tea Party people but lots of people in the conservative movement about incumbency and about the establishment and so on, the idea that Boehner would be unchallenged in the role of Speaker, I think, really is something that needs to be reexamined.
Mm-hmm. Has the president, in that regard and in other regards, has the president done him a favor by making this kind of a one-on-one battle here?
Yeah, I think, having Barack Obama speak ill of you is not necessarily the worst qualification for a Republican. And I think, in a sense, his stock has risen as a result of it. Certainly his visibility has risen because, previously he was seen very much as a kind of shadowy insider figure. But now, of course, he's out in the bright light of the media. And I suspect to some extent he's relishing it.